This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
I'm Noomi Gilder.
I'm Harriet Taylor.
And you're listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief.
Our picks of this week's tech headlines.
And what we think of them.
We're aiming for 50% informative, 50% fun.
Let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief. You've got myself, Harriet.
And I'm Noomi. Hi.
Hello. How are you doing this week?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am great. And I'm also excited about all these great, great, great news topics we've got to talk about this week.
Yeah, it feels like it was a good week. Like looking through, there was lots of cool stuff to talk about.
Yeah, there was. And like one of my particular favourites, I think you pointed this out to me because I'd actually not noticed this one, but the government digital document app launching in summer. Now, this is the UK government. And if you're from the UK, you might be aware that, you know, you've got to carry your driving licence or your passport to do anything. Whereas a lot of European countries, they have like digital passes. Or like when I lived in Spain, you'd have like your own sort of like document ID, which looks a bit like a driving license, but it wasn't. It was more like it had an ID number. But you could also have an electronic version of that. And we've not really had that in the UK. I think we trialled something years ago and it never really took off. So if I just read out the news story, it says the government is to make digital versions of a range of official documents available via a dedicated app and a digital wallet as part of what ministers say is an attempt to bring interactions with the public in tune with modern life. Now, what do you think about this?
I actually think this is a great idea. So they said so far, the ones that they're going to first incorporate are veteran cards and driver's licenses. And I think this is so helpful because so many people now don't carry a wallet. You know, they just use their phone because they're using their phone with Apple Wallet or Google Pay to pay for things. I know a lot of girls that are like having to put their driver's license in like a see-through phone case or on the back of their phone case or something so that they're not having to carry a wallet around. I carry around a card holder and literally the main purpose of that for me is so that I've got my driver's license on me at all times when I'm commuting and in the car. So I think a digital license is such a good idea. And I was actually thinking about, like, last year on the pod, we were talking about all of these social media apps and digital products and gaming platforms like Roblox talking about age verification. And we were saying it's really difficult to do that. If you've got these digital identity cards, that might be easier to do.
100%, because if everyone gets given them and, you know, you're forced to have one, you can't just say, oh, no, I don't have one. I can't provide it, you know. I think it's good in that regard. I think it will help, you know, monitor how maybe underage people use the internet. But yeah, I think it's just going to be handy. Like, I am so bad for leaving my house with just my phone. And like, the only times I'd really take my stuff with me is if I need my driving license or to prove, you know, my age anywhere. And B, if I think my phone's going to die and I've got to have my card on me.
Yeah.
I'd much rather just always have it on my phone or even on my smartwatch, like my Fitbit or something.
Yeah.
Especially if it's integrated in a wallet.
Because it's a good thing as well. It's like, not just when you're driving, it's a good thing to remember the amount of times I've been like, oh, I'll just pop to the shop, the girls are coming over, let's get a bottle of bubbly, and then I get to the shop and then they're like, oh, have you got your ID? It's like, no, I didn't, because I was only leaving the house for 10 minutes. Whereas if it was on your phone, that would be so easy to use.
Like, that happened to me once when I was doing DIY in my house. I was buying some sort of like sealant spray, and the lady at the counter was like, I can't sell it to you because you don't have ID. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have everything but my ID on me right now.
I can't help it that I look youthful.
I know. I was like, come on, it's just paint. She was like, no, I don't know what you're going to do with it. And I was like, paint my house.
I just want to do some DIY. And I think another really useful thing for me would be, they said that there's over 52 million driver's licenses in Great Britain. So that's a lot. And for me, the main thing about a driver's license is such a faff when you move house.
And you get fined as well.
Yeah, exactly. So if it's digital, it would be, you know, you could change your address really quickly because you're just updating, you know, a digital app rather than, or a digital card in your wallet, rather than like having to wait for a new card to arrive in the post. So I think there's loads of advantages for this.
Yeah, I agree.
You mentioned this earlier, but virtual licenses already in use in Australia, Denmark, Iceland and Norway. So, it's, you know, it's being done before.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, it's about time. We get them as well.
Honestly, I think it's going to be a game changer. I'm here for it. So yeah, what else do we have going on this week?
So kind of sticking on the car front, really excited about this. Haas have appointed their first female race engineer in F1. A woman called Laura Muller is the first female race engineer. They've also appointed a new head of strategy, who's also a woman called Corinne Kreidlich, and she's been recruited from Red Bull's racing team, and is going to start on the 1st of March. And what I kind of liked about it was, in kind of like the press release in this article talking about it, team principal Ayo Komatsu was saying, it's not like I chose Laura because she's female. You know, she was the best choice for who can maximise the performance. But I just think it's a great kind of thing. I think Formula One's a really exciting time at the moment. I think a lot of people are getting really interested in it. This increased diversity in the sport. And I think now we're starting to see that in the team members and the executive members of these companies. And I just think it's nice, like, even though it shouldn't be a big deal, but because we're not at equality in those, like, leadership team members and on the teams and stuff, it is good to kind of like highlight it and shout about it when it does happen.
Yeah. And I think it would be good for, like, say, younger people watching the Formula One as well. They're so used to hearing men's voices being the ones that talk down the radio, because like this position is the person that speaks down the radio to the driver.
Oh, cool.
So it's the voice that's heard talking to drivers on television broadcasts. So you'll have a female voice now as well doing that, which I think is just really good for visibility.
Yeah, it's just things like that of, like, you know, if you're interested in F1 and then you see yourself being represented in that sport, you know, that's going to continue your passion. If you are more interested in careers in F1, you can listen to our other podcast, Tech Girl Energy, with Ella Podmore, who is an amazing material engineer for McLaren.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good sort of introductory episode of, like, what you can do in that space as well. Like, because she's got such a different job than you might imagine working in, with a team on a vehicle. Like, she's a materials engineer. Like, I didn't even know what that was until we spoke to her. So I thought it was really eye-opening episode. So give that a listen.
But yeah, I think it's great that we're getting that kind of visible diversity in F1.
Yeah.
This next one, I love when we see these stories and it's like, this is so random.
Right.
And this one definitely fits under this. Lone Star Data Holdings, which is a space startup, wants to put a data center on the moon.
Wow. Okay. How are they going to do this?
So apparently they're going to use SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket to launch a fully assembled data center late next month. It will integrate with Intuitive Machines, which is another space company, Moonlander called Athena. So they're not going to do everything themselves. They're using an existing rocket and lander, and then just going to drop a data center on the moon.
I mean, you know what? Why not? If we don't have space for it on, like, our planet, let's just put on another one.
Well, there's also, they've said that because there's cheaper rocket launches now, there's abundant solar energy in space, and there's more cost-effective cooling systems. There's a lot of these factors that are playing it at interplay together that could mean that having data centers off planet is a possibility and could meet the growing computational needs of technologies, including AI. Now, we bang on a lot on this podcast about how AI is potentially bad for the environment. So, you know, why not?
Put it in a different environment.
Put it in a different environment where we're not there.
Exactly. To be fair, if we can do it with rubbish, why can't we do it with data centers and things that are more useful?
It's true. It's true.
What I want to know is, when it gets put on that rocket and sent up there, how is it just supposed to work? Like,
yeah, well, I guess this is the thing, isn't it? And this is a difficult thing about space exploration and this kind of research, is you can't, you know, be iterative. And you have to kind of like be perfect on the get-go, because you can't go fix it if there's a problem. You can't go debug.
Exactly. So once it's up there, it's up there. But I guess the more they test this sort of stuff, the more the more robust it'll be in future, to be honest. So I think if we don't try, it's never going to work.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of advantages to this boring. And will this kind of be the start of, if we're starting to put stuff on the moon anyway, will this kind of open it up to, well, it's already there, so why don't we look at putting this there or doing that, or colonizing Mars more seriously, something like that? This could be kind of like the
start. It's just going to be our tech area.
Yeah,
it's the Silicon Valley of the universe. Will be
Silicon Lunar Valley.
That's it. That's what it's known as now. So, right, this is a bit of a random question, but we're just going to go with it. Mm. So if you could send any piece of technology up to the moon, what would you send?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Because you don't want to be that person that's like, well, let's stop polluting the planet and we'll just pollute the moon instead. Like, I don't think that should be the solution. You know, that's kind of like sweeping the rubbish under the rug, isn't it? Like just moving the problem to somewhere else. But could it be stuff like, if there was a way to like automate manufacturing,
yeah,
could you put that on the moon so that you're saving up space? But then how do you get it back?
And how would you, yeah.
You kind of need, it needs to be like a digital.
We need a highway.
A moon highway. What would you do?
I was just trying to think then, because like every point you've said is valid, and I still feel like we need engineers to be able to fix things. Like you're telling me we send a data center to the moon and that's going to break down at some point and someone's going to have to go and turn it on and off again.
Can you imagine? Oh no, there's been a Windows update, right? John, get in the rocket.
But stuff like that happens all the time.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm struggling to see, like, whatever gets sent up there needs to be really, really, really self-sufficient.
Yeah.
So until we get movement between, like, Earth and Moon, I don't really trust anything being up there. Unless it's renewable energy. You know what would be really cool, actually? If we could put, like, solar panels up there and somehow... it's totally impossible at the moment, but harness that energy and then be able to transport it back down to us without using too much energy.
Just a really long cable.
Or, see, I don't even know how this would work. I'm like, what if we generated nuclear energy up on the moon so we don't have to deal with the fallout down here?
Yeah,
but how do we get that energy to us? How would we do that?
Yeah, and this is, you know, very blue sky thinking, or maybe like, you know, deep space thinking. Do that, so you have a nuclear power plant on the moon, developing nuclear energy, and then you build a space station on the moon to then power rockets. So, you know, we're not just firing them off from Earth anymore. It's the moon becomes a space station.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen in our lifetime? Probably not.
I don't know, but look at all the crazy stuff that's happened in the last few years, especially when it comes to AI. AI could come up with a solution for us that actually works.
It's true.
I feel like we're in the end game at the moment.
We're in the end of something this week.
Literally, all the Matrix films are on Netflix at the moment. So I've been rewatching them and I didn't realise how relevant they are to what's going on right now as well. Like, you know, is AI becoming so powerful?
Yep.
But yeah. So that's interesting. On the topic of AI, actually, that sort of goes into our next story.
Oh, yeah. Nice little segue there.
So the last story we've got for you this week is The Brutalist, which is a film. The director defends use of AI to refine his lead star's performances. So the director of The Brutalist has defended his lead actor's performances after it emerged that artificial intelligence had been used to refine their Hungarian accents. Now, Bradley Corbett, the director, insisted that the performances of Adrian Brody and Felicity Jones were completely their own, regardless of the use of AI. Now, that film won 3 Golden Globes earlier this month and is expected to receive nods at the forthcoming Oscar nominations. So I can understand why people might be a bit upset about it.
Yeah, but it's also like a bit of a clickbaity article because it makes it sound like the whole film has been like edited. But what has actually happened is in Hungarian language, they've edited the dialogue to be more realistic and natural sounding. But I do think it's interesting because we're obviously seeing a lot of new AI tools visually and auditory. These are kind of, you know, I think the three prongs are text-based AI like ChatGPT. You've then got visual image generation and video generation, and then sound synthesis. And there is a lot of space to apply those in the film and television industry. I feel like, I don't think it's going to be realistic that we will just never use AI. Like, it's already happening. I don't think we're ever going to, like, stop using it. I think what needs to happen is guidelines or laws or whatever on how it's used. And in some
disclosed.
Yeah. And it, and I think that's exactly it. I think for a lot of it, it's going to be about disclosure. And maybe in the creative industry, it, maybe the guilds and the unions need to work on something of like, in my opinion, it shouldn't be taking the space of someone else's craft that someone else could be doing if they could do it. But if it could be augmenting, then is that a problem? Like, if it's a tool that someone is using to, like, because, you know, because you could go, well, we shouldn't have CGI because that's using a computer and, you know, that's not someone building a practical set or whatever. Like, stuff evolves.
I think if stuff evolves, though, what we need to make sure happens is that award shows evolve as well. Because I can see if you're an actor and you've worked really hard, or say you're from Hungarian descent, right? And you're like, finally, you know, like, I'm going to go try and get this role where I have to speak Hungarian and American. Like, I've got this, you know, I could nail this. And then you find out that they went with an American actor and just used AI to do the Hungarian bit. Like, I can imagine actors being quite annoyed if they know they've got more skills than the person that's won an award for it with the use
of
AI.
But that's also happening all the time anyway, with nothing to do with AI. You know, people get annoyed when straight actors portray LGBTQ characters. Like, I think that that representation.
But then that's without the help externally, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to get an award for being able to speak an extra language in a film when you actually can't.
Yeah, but are they getting an award for that? It's like, you know.
Well, yeah, that's why it's such a, like, weird thing. Like, I watched a Netflix show recently called La Palma, which is based in the Canary Islands, and it's a Norwegian series. It was on the front of UK Netflix for a bit in the top 10, and it was dubbed. And then I found out afterwards they used AI for the dubbing as well. So if you actually look, their mouths are moving correctly.
Oh!
Like, I noticed something was slightly off, because I was like, their voices don't really match their face. You know, and it sounds really dubbed, like, really perfect, not enough intonation. But then I was like, but the mouths are moving. And I looked into it more, and people have been talking about it on Twitter, like, wow, okay, this is getting scary now. Like, but I thought that was a really good use, for example.
Yeah, because it's like, it's not taking away from their performance, because they're still, you've still got the dubbed performance anyway, vocally, and then you've got the physical performance from the actors.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, it's almost making you able to enjoy it more, because it always throws me off if the dubbing is like way asynchronous. Like, it, I just can't focus, because I'm just like, your mouth is moving too much.
It throws you off. That was one of my major gripes when I first moved to Tenerife when I was younger. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was always on TV, but I'd watch that in England in, like, you know, it's a original audio, so I knew what the character sounded like. Then I was listening to it in Spanish, and it was just super, like, generic, like, way of speaking, and then their mouths were not moving at the same time. And as a youngster, I used to get so annoyed. I was like, I'm refusing to watch any dubbed programs, especially if I already know what they sound like in the original language. So yeah, I'm here for this, because it will solve, I don't know, child me's nightmare.
Childhood trauma.
Literally, it's just brought it back, but yeah.
I think the next few years, there's going to be a lot of discussion in the creative industries about AI. I mean, I think the Grammys, they've already got, like, legislation that a song using AI can't be submitted.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see similar regulation in stuff like the Globes and the Oscars.
But I don't know if you followed, like, there was that whole Kendrick Lamar and Drake sort of beef last year. And towards the beginning of it, Drake had used a song to diss Kendrick Lamar using Tupac's voice.
Yeah.
And Tupac's family sued Drake for using an AI-generated voice of Tupac, because they said they had the rights to his voice. And that, I just thought that was a really interesting kind of worms to be in at this point. And does that mean that if someone steals my voice and starts using it in, like, I don't know, artistic endeavours, does that mean I have a right to claim towards that? Like, I feel like it's opening a big, big, big can of worms when you start using AI and, like, you know, generated content. Like, what if you generated part of the back of a film set from an image you found on the internet and the person whose image it was decides that, actually, no, I didn't allow you to use that?
I think there's definitely going to have to be a lot of conversations, and maybe some copyright lawyers will need to be involved.
Mm-hmm. Lots of rules, lots of laws. I feel like this is a general, like, every time we speak about AI, we're like, but how do you police this? Like, it's getting out of hand.
Can we please get some lawyers in the room?
And then it's like, well, do you do it on the internet? Do you do it on a company, like, country basis? Like, who ratifies this? We don't know. Mars.
Yeah. Just outsource that. Put that on the moon.
Yeah, put it on the moon. Have AI lawyers. That's what's going to happen.
Right, I think that's it for us this week. Thanks so much for listening to Tech Girl Energy Weekly Debrief. If people want to find us on socials, Harriet, where do they go?
It is Tech Girl Energy on TikTok, Instagram, Threads, YouTube Shorts. We actually do have a Facebook that's up and running that mirrors what we post on Instagram. So yeah, Tech Girl Energy, find us everywhere. And also don't forget to find us on Spotify or wherever you listen to your weekly podcasts.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.